Finally, it is time for
the Rich Eisen Show.
Are we the show, or is everything else the show?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rock gets up there when zero's on the clock, we're supposed to go, and then he's going for another 5 minutes. It's like, holy smoke.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. Plus, actor Charlie Day. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Good chat with Mike Florio in hour number one. We talked quite a bit about the quarterback carousel that I'm telling you is going to start spinning very, very soon in the NFL. It may already have with Kyler Murray's Instagram cleansing of Super Bowl week. If you missed anything that Mike said, don't worry. We have something called a YouTube page that's white hot to the touch right now. That's how hot it is. Over 366,000 subscribers now. And so go to youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their spots. Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys in hour two. And TJ Jefferson as well. Good to see you, sir.
Hello, world.
So yesterday, at this very moment, we said hello to Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's true.
24 hours ago, we were saying hello to Mike McCarthy. And Mike, I asked him point blank about what Jerry Jones said about Dan Quinn coming back to the team, which is great. Okay. TJ, I turned to you and I said, the Cowboys getting one and done by the 49ers and they might lose both their coordinators, and Mike McCarthy's there having to rebuild that staff. Maybe they just go ahead and bounce him too. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's what I was sitting there and thinking.
I did not think that.
But... And no, I'm, but him having to rebuild a staff after all of that and Dan Quinn doing what he did on the defensive side of the ball, that was a dicey situation. Yeah. But the Joneses set right away. Stephen Jones said there'll be no coaching change. And then Kellen Moore didn't get anything. And Dan Quinn got a lot of interviews in, but did not take a job. As a matter of fact, he pulled his name from a couple of spots. Yeah. And while many jobs were still open, he signed back with Dallas. And Jerry Jones, at the Senior Bowl, being interviewed by his own website, said maybe the reason why Quinn came back is the reason why Sean Payton and Jason Garrett were assistants for a long time, because every one of those three coaches have said they'd love to be the head coach of the Cowboys. Every one. So my point is that has, in my mind, a lot of logic as to why they might not take a job now rather than one, or wait and see how the cards go in the future. And I asked that of Mike McCarthy. Hey, man, what'd you think about that? Especially when the follow-up question came in, Mike knows that someday somebody other than him will be coach of the Cowboys. His answer made some news, especially when he said that he spoke to Dan Quinn about all of this before Quinn started interviewing in other places. This is what Mike had to say.
We talked about it. We talked about Dan's situation. Okay. Yeah, definitely. We talked about Sean Payton's narrative also. It's been discussed.
You have discussed that with him. Huh? Is anything you can share that you have discussed?
The just the conversation was, you and I are in this, back to back, and it's a partnership, and just focus on what we need to do moving forward. He made some, personal comments about how he feels about it, but that's really for him and I. But mm-hmm. I'm very, very comfortable with our relationship and our dialogue. I mean, it's at the end of the day, we both want the same thing, and it's to to win the world championship. And definitely the narratives are unusual, but at the end of the day, I think you have to. You got to trust the relationships and the communication and the connection that you have in our leadership group, and I think we're doing everything we possibly can to, to build a championship team here.
That's what he said. He spoke to Jerry Jones about. He also said he spoke to Dan Quinn about this narrative and said that Quinn told him, "Tell me if I should take out these jobs because this is this narrative isn't comfortable for me." And his answer to us and to this show was, He said he told Quinn, like he said, Quinn, no, you should come back. Now, 10 to 12 years ago, he said, I might have told him to get out. I'm not comfortable with it, but I want to win. And Dan Quinn returning is the best chance for the Dallas Cowboys to win.
Yeah.
Why would you, you know, if, now that would be McCarthy shooting himself in his foot. If he said, Dan, I am so uncomfortable with you being here that I've got to go find another defensive coordinator. So, yeah, take another job because I'd rather start from scratch with somebody else with a guy who you coached to a unanimous defensive rookie of the year award. Yeah. I'd rather start with somebody else who's helped unlock Diggs in a manner that Mike Nolan sure had a little bit trouble doing. Yeah, you know what? I want to go back to that first year where unnamed sources were telling Jane Slater that everything's going on around here defensively that's real screwy. I want to go back to that. I want to try, you know, I want to try my hand at that. So, yeah, you need to go down the road for my own self-preservation because guess what that would have led to? A lack of his own self-preservation. I think that's a smart move by McCarthy to say, we're cool, you and I are cool, as long as we know that. And I would just love to have been a fly on the wall of what those personal words that Jerry Jones said to him on the situation. Dude. What do you think those were? You know?
I mean, I think Jerry has made it perfectly clear. The only thing he cares about now is winning a Super Bowl. You know, finally getting another ring. And so I imagine it was some sort of conversation to the effect of, do whatever it takes to win me another GD Super Bowl.
Right.
You know? And that's it.
Correct. Or he was saying something along the lines of this.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Get your damn act together.
No, this is what's best for the Dallas Cowboys that I'm saying this sort of thing, and this is what happens when the coaches are here. I don't know. Totally guessing, but I don't blame McCarthy. Wouldn't you go? Wouldn't you come to me if I was talking about your position like this?
Especially
on our new RichEisenShow.com website?
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, like if somebody from NFL Network was saying, Rich knows he's not going to be the host of NFL Network forever. So, of course, we're going to hire all those people that, you know, can host and do his job because they're looking at his chair, which I think is great because they are worthy of his chair. Right. But Rich knows, you know, honestly, I'd walk right in the office and say, you got a problem with the job that I'm doing? Why don't you come to me?
Yeah.
You know. Of course, though, you know, with seconds to go on Super Sunday, we scored on NFL Game Day morning. You know what I'm saying?
Did you spike it?
Sorry, TJ.
Spike in the end zone? Oof.
But I definitely think that this is just stirring the pot for a 2022 season that is going to be lit for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I think that they are ready to win again, right? CeeDee Lamb's not going to suddenly get worse. He's going to get better. I don't know what's going to happen with Zeke, you know, of the diminishing return. I would love for you guys to ask Marshall when he's here with Susie tomorrow about Zeke. Because Marshall and him.
I'll tell you, right?
Yeah. Correct.
I mean,
because Tony Pollard, to me, is just a dynamic player who can hit home runs from anywhere on the field. And Dak, one would think, is only going to get better again. I mean, this is what, year six for him, right?
For Dak?
Yeah. He's consistent.
Class of 2016, so yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's still a puppy. You know? So, defensively, and then they're going to draft, and maybe it, could you imagine if they hit on another player or two in the draft? They got to hit up front and protect Dak. Isn't that crazy? That
used to be really well in the draft in the last.
I know.
Yeah, that's what people tend to overlook. I mean, you know, when T.J. Watt was killing it, everyone tried to point out the fact that Dallas passed up on drafting him for Taco Charlton. But aside from that, their record or draft picks have been
really
pretty spot on.
But there's no question. There's no question that if Dallas does not hit it, and this coming year and doesn't put Jerry Jones at least in the NFC Championship game for the right to get to Arizona next year, then there'll be a change. I think that's for sure.
Yeah.
And whether it's Dan Quinn or whatever Sean Payton wants to do, because he's lurking out there, and that's why he's talking to Jerry Jones about Sean Payton.
This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
It's going to be a wild, wild campaign as usual. And Jerry Jones likes it that way. I think he kind of digs it.
Yeah.
And that's part and parcel of having that gig. You know,
but the Cowboys still have to figure out the Cooper situation. They got to figure out what to do with Lawrence. They got to figure out what to do with Randy Gregory. This could turn not so great.
You know what?
Contractually,
you know what, man?
Go south.
Amari Cooper, where was he towards the end of that season? And he was even saying, you know, what gives? You know, like I'm raising my hand to catch the football.
Well, you catch
which
it,
is what, nuts. So.
It's not like a lack of talent or a lack of effort on his part. He wasn't getting the ball. So you said, where was he?
Yeah.
He was there. He just.
Cowboys are $21 million over the cap for next year. Yes. So we're going to see some.
If Washington does not take a big swing at quarterback, and they're now looking at a future of Heinicke versus tier two veteran,
what's Fitzmagic doing,
or rookie, then this is Dallas's division, because the Giants, even though I do think Brian Daboll can bring something to the table that nobody else has in the last several years there, they're not going to turn around and suddenly battle for the division. Well, I guess they can. I don't expect them to. And then I don't know what the Eagles are. This is still Dallas's division. Then there's also the question,
Eagles.
Here's an interesting question. We haven't hit this week. Let's do it here. Can the Dallas Cowboys open up another football season in the house of the Super Bowl champs?
Yes.
Because we usually do this on Mondays, and we haven't done it yet.
Here we go.
Okay.
I had this tab open for a while.
Yes, you
okay.
Have.
So let's hit it.
Hit it.
Here.
Hit it.
The Los Angeles Rams are going to open the 2022 season. There will be a banner raising inside SoFi Stadium. I don't know where you can't hang it from the Oculus, right? I mean, you're going to have to hang it
just
somewhere.
Just put it like a giant, like 50-foot banner down the middle.
I just like right down the middle that somebody can punt and hit it.
Yeah, right.
You know, like hit it. You can't hang it from that Oculus. I don't know.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know what? They'll find a spot. They'll find a spot on the canopy.
Somewhere.
The end zone has spots.
They'll find a spot. So there will be a banner raising the first Thursday night of the season here in Los Angeles, California. Wow. And I'm sure I will be there as part of the coverage. Of the opener, you guys will make
going.
A killing on your secondary ticket market.
I'm going.
So much.
I am
you're definitely,
definitely
in?
Going.
Okay.
100% I'm going
I'm
to that
50-50.
game. No, I'm in.
I got to see what kind of prices
sir.
I'm getting.
Okay. All right.
As I wear Rams.
So what are the options looking at the Rams schedule?
As we know, we have the fellow members of the NFC West. Seattle, San Francisco, and Arizona. Good games there.
Yes.
They are playing the NFC South this year.
Ah.
So they have the Falcons coming in and the Panthers coming in.
Yeah,
I think we can rule them out.
Yeah.
They're also playing the AFC West. Denver comes and the Raiders come.
Yeah, you can get rid of those.
I think we can rule them out.
There's two choices because they don't usually like starting with a division game.
There's only two choices. It's Buffalo or Dallas.
I think it's the Bills.
I think it's the Bills because I don't think you can send Dallas into somebody else's house for a banner raising.
Yeah, forget
a second straight year. That is a tough assignment, and they almost pulled it off this year, man. Dak had 400 yards passing, and
lost by a field goal.
I know.
Also, especially though, if you're looking to push Josh Allen as one of the new faces of the league,
you don't have to push. He's already done it himself.
Maybe nationally, he's not as much as well known as maybe Dallas.
Chris is definitely right. Like more people know who Baker Mayfield is than probably
because he doesn't
any
have any commercials.
Yeah, so that's being a face of something.
I would
bet
we see Josh Allen a little more on TV over the summer. Yeah. And
guys, if you want 40, 50 million to tune into that game, then there's only one answer. Okay.
By the way, as much as I don't want to feed this beast,
like a dungeon dragon,
he is most certainly not wrong.
No,
settle down just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not settling down.
But I think it's going to be Buffalo.
I do think so because
the
they don't like look. Obviously, Niners versus the Rams running back the NFC Championship game. You know they like running back championship game weekends, right? you know that you love that, but you don't want to do that for a division game. Obviously, Kyler Murray at the Rams was such a washout in the playoffs. You don't want to run the risk. And who knows who's the quarterback there? It'll be Kyler Murray. It's going to be Kyler Murray.
Let me make one case.
Okay. Hey, Chris, real quick. Did you hear Hoskins chirping that he'll take your ticket?
Yeah. Mike, you can talk to me.
Our Buffalo Bills coordinating producer, what's he saying?
He was just like, I'll take your tickets, Chris.
If Aaron Rodgers...
You'd give it to him for cost, clearly. For nothing.
If Aaron Rodgers forces his way out of Green Bay, says I'm not coming back, and goes to Denver, I think we see Denver Rams opening night.
Fact.
Ooh, yeah, that would be the only variable.
Fact.
I agree.
Factual.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers' new team opening night. What you could have been.
Factual.
Boom.
Sign me up Factual. For that. Here's the thing, though. Yeah. Here's the thing. Well, yeah, the schedule will definitely have come out. If Aaron Rodgers is going to make a decision sooner rather than later.
Even if he's on the Raiders, too. Either team.
He's not going to the Raiders.
And I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
If it's Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Denver Bronco at the home of the Los Angeles Rams to raise the banner on opening night.
100%.
Lock it in.
Yep.
Put it in stone. Throw it in the freezer. That is exactly it.
Carbone.
If it is Denver's new quarterback, if it's Drew Locke, if it's somebody, whoever they might get.
It's going to be Buffalo.
It's Buffalo, yeah.
If it is Deshaun Watson, though, I still don't think they're going to put him in the opening game in front of the whole country because I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to emerge from all of this on a new team with the same reputation that he used to have.
The other variable, Rich.
Off the bat.
The other variable.
Yes.
Let's say Tom Brady does come back
and goes to
San Francisco. Yeah. Then we're going to see Tom Brady.
Then suddenly they don't care about division games being a first
time. They do not care. You care about Tom Brady, new team, hometown team, what last year.
Look at you providing wrinkles.
Tom Brady.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
He wants one more if he comes back.
Then it's Brady at Rams with the Niners.
I don't know about that one. Actually,
you know how much, Mike, we can retire on our tickets.
How about, for that. No, hold on a minute. If it's Brady and the Niners at the Rams, by the way, total fantasy. But we're in this world, though. Let's just say it's 1%. Would be a piece of filet mignon they'd want to save for later in the season instead of first straight up.
Like a Thursday.
Because it's a division game. I'm telling you, they're not into that. They play twice.
Who cares?
But I don't know. Division games, I just don't think. They don't like it.
One of them's got to go to the end, but they played him at the end this year.
Brady is, one would say, a tendency breaker.
Oh,
so we're as is right now, snapshot of teams right now, it's the Bills.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers makes a decision, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Wherever he goes.
And Brady makes his decision, it'll be after the schedule comes out, it's still going to be Aaron Rodgers. How about that?
What if Brady decides, end of March?
He ain't.
No, he won't do that because, again, if he does, let's just say Brady has this plan. Let's say this is his plan, even though it's totally... If we're in the fantasy land, let's just say this is Brady's plan. If it is Brady's plan, he will have to wait till the Bucs make a maneuver that they can't undo. That's it. That'll be after the schedule. But good stuff, Christopher.
Fun.
Good stuff. Take a break. Michael Smith from Brother from Another, and then your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Do not dare go anywhere. So much to discuss. Back with Brother from Another is Michael Smith. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
In a moment. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Stay on hold and enjoy this conversation because it's always great with the man who, along with Michael Holly, brings you Brother from Another every single day at 3 Eastern time after we are done with this space on NBC Sports on Peacock. Michael Smith back on the show. How are you, Michael?
Every single day when we don't take vacation, although I'm not going to Hawaii.
I'm going with my poker buddies.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
I might lose my shirt there. So it's all good. It'll be fine.
Wait, are you going without the family?
That's correct. Susie's sitting in. My wife. She is sitting in this chair. She and Marshall Faulk are doing all three hours of the Rich Eisen Show tomorrow. Charles Barkley calling in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's dope. So you can't get Wally pipped because the income will still be coming in if she takes the gig. So you're good there.
I that's true. It's Wally. Hey, look.
The guy pointing to his temple. That's good thinking right there, dog. That's really good thinking.
You know, it's called Next Level. Mm-hmm. Michael Smith, Next Level.
That's dope that you get to go. See, I got to work on that because I wonder. I need you to take me aside this conversation.
Yes.
Because was that the incentive? Like, babe, if you let me go with the fellas, you could hold down the show and grow your brand. Because as we both know, Rich, when you go on vacation with the family, that's a trip. That's not a vacation.
That's correct.
You're taking a vacation. So I need some pointers as a fellow father and husband on how to get this. I've never been on a vacation before by myself.
Nope. Well, let's talk offline on that. I'm more than happy to do that. But just note that over the next couple of days, I'm out of office.
And what island are you going to? Our islands?
I'm going to the Big Island, sir. The Big Island.
Okay. You're going to Oahu? All right. I've been there.
So it'll
good
be fun.
For you. That's not what you call to talk to me about, though. What's up, man? How you doing? How was Super Bowl? I missed you out there. I did not run into you like I hoped I would.
It's great. It's all right. I just looked at your Instagram account and saw that you scrubbed all photos of me off it. So
All
Rich Eisen photos off of Michael Smith's Instagram page. What do you make of that story, Kyler Murray? What do you think's going on, Michael?
Yeah, you know, it seems like there's a difference in opinion. Usually the default, the obvious and the easy explanation is the right one in these instances. There's a different disagreement on money. He's coming up on extension time. And he did not, they say you're only as funky as your last cut. And he stunk against the Rams, as we know. And so, I'm assuming, and I think it's a safe assumption that there is a difference, in value, how the Cardinals see him and how he sees himself. But then when all the dirty laundry starts getting aired,
mm-hmm.
See, that's how I wonder, like, how do you come back from that? Like, does a contract just make up for that? Like, if there's enough unhappiness on Kyler Murray's part to scrub his social media accounts of all things Cardinals, if there's enough unhappiness on the Cardinals' part to put out that he isn't, you know, the best thing since sliced bread himself, like, how do you come back and move on for the next 10 years? It just kind of feels like this is the beginning of the end, and it's a matter of when, not if, this relationship ends one way or the other.
Well, I was just saying this, is that if you think someone is immature and that person has already scrubbed his Instagram account, which one would say does lack a sense of maturity, right?
Yeah, that's very teenager-ish.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so if you're dealing with somebody like that, how do you think he's going to handle the whisper of he's immature to Chris Mortensen? How do you think that one's going to land? So I don't know how you do come back from that. Yes, a contract will, no question, make it better, and he can still win championships for that team, but he will be on a mole hunt forever in that building. That is for sure.
And from the Cardinals' perspective, again, I like Kyler Murray. I think he's an exciting player. He, you know, seems like a good kid. I don't know him personally, and I certainly don't know the inner workings of the Cardinals as an organization and where that would have come from or who would have been. If somebody is inclined to commit to him, why they would have put that out there to Mort. But you know the old saying, money doesn't change you. It just makes you more of who you already are. So if they have reservations about who he is from a character and leadership standpoint, how do you – you know, comfortably invest the amount of money that he's going to be looking for. It feels like it's on its way to being, you know, a Baker Mayfield Cleveland thing where it's like, hey, we got to see more before we decide to commit. And the more you don't, going back to relationships, you know, we've all been there. It's like, hey, what are we? You know, what are we doing here? Are we going to, you know, take the next step? And you're like, nah, I just want to chill. I just want to kick it. I'm not ready yet. Well, if the Cardinals aren't ready to commit fully to Kyler Murray, when will they ever be? And by that time, will the relationship be too far gone? Where he's like, nah, I remember those whispers to Mort back in the day. Don't think I forgot.
It could be. And then, you know, but you can't blame the Cardinals for saying to him, we don't want to pay you now because our plan was to pay you next year. Mm-hmm. And if we pay you now, we have an issue keeping this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. We've got to keep all of this stuff. Our plan is to pay you. Don't worry. Be happy, right? right? and then he doesn't like that. It's kind of like this is the business that he's chosen.
Yeah.
And I don't I can understand he would say, well, what about Josh Allen? Look at the money that he made. What about the fact that Wentz and Goff got paid? And so that's the conundrum because
if you're the Cardinals, you're like, what they eat don't make us crap, you know. I guess it is what it is. If you're Kyler Murray, and I would never begrudge a player for wanting to get his bread. If you're Kyler Murray, you feel like you've done enough, you accomplished enough, you were the number one overall pick. Let's not forget, and I mean, it looks better and better in hindsight, given that we haven't heard much of anything from Josh Rosen. You know, they went and took him number one overall when they'd already taken a quarterback top 10. That's how much they were in love with him on the front end. They've steadily improved, even though they've collapsed in the second half of regular seasons. Nonetheless, they've steadily improved the last couple of years, made the playoffs. So if you're him, you're like, yo, what are we waiting on? But if I side with the Cardinals here because he was awful in the playoffs, in that loss to the Rams. He was awful. So if I'm the Cardinals, I would like to see more before believing that what you're asking for, what you're looking for, or what the market says you should be or you're entitled to think you should be paid, I need to see more before I cut that check. So that's why you have this face-off, and that's why he's you know, scrubbing his Instagram and now all the dirty laundry is being aired. I just don't know how you put this proverbial toothpaste back in the tube.
I guess with nine figures. You know, like that maybe is the way to do it. Michael Smith, a brother from another right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. What's your take on the Simmons for Harden trade? I know there are others are involved, but those are the headliners. So yeah. What's your take on that?
Well, basketball-wise, I think the Sixers, the conventional wisdom is that if you get the best player, you win the trade. They got the best player, even if you're inclined to believe that James Harden is not the player that he once was. Maybe the last time he and Daryl Morey were together, he's not the same player. But he's still the best player in this trade. However, I do think that Simmons, when he plays, will be the better fit. Now, the trip part about this whole thing is, usually when teams blow it up, it's either because guys are past their prime or it's because, you know, there's money involved. There's some, you know, typical reason why an experiment didn't work. This one didn't work for reasons that had nothing to do with basketball. They never played together, the Nets I'm talking about. And when they did play together, they were wonderful. This was a personality conflict and James Harden just getting restless. So that's the most fascinating aspect of it. This is unlike any kind of star swap we've seen. And the same thing goes for Philadelphia. They were just sick of Ben Simmons' act. Now, having said that, going back to basketball, I think Simmons is the better fit with the Nets and what they already have and what they need than Harden is with the Sixers, even though they weren't getting anything from Simmons to begin with. So while the Sixers got the better player, I would be inclined to think, again, once he plays, and assuming he's okay, that the Nets got the better of the trade. But the broader aspect of it is, on Harden's side, legacy, and I don't need to get into that, I'm just happy to see and hear from Ben Simmons. And not that he needs my approval, but I, like many others, reduced his discontent to the comments that were made after the Hawks series, and other motivations such as ego and wanting to have his own team and not wanting to get along with Embiid and this, that, and the other. If he has some personal issues that preceded his playoff meltdown and that further complicated it, I just hope he's getting to a place where he can be happy and be the player that he's gifted enough to be. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's got a fresh start. And even though he's in the New York market, I would think there's less pressure on him, at least to begin with. We'll see how teams are able to exploit his lack of shooting in the playoffs.
What do you make of the concept of his mental health being the reason why he couldn't play for Philadelphia, and now he's with Brooklyn, and he seems to be struggling less with that, Michael?
You're talking about in terms of skepticism as to whether or not it really just came down that he didn't want to be in Philly and it's not really mental health, and, you know, is he using mental health as a cover? You mean that?
Let me just put a fine point on it that, yeah, that is the conversation being had in Philadelphia and writ large.
I understand
that this could be possible, and it is very touchy subject. It couldn't be not – it's one of the touchiest subjects. It's one that we, you know, take very seriously.
Sure.
And so what do you think?
I think you should be consistent, and I know that's what I want to be. It would be a disservice, and it would be unfair, and that was the skepticism to begin with, that, you know, this is a guy really throwing a tantrum and using something very serious as a shield from further criticism when he's just not, you know, tough enough to handle what thousands of players have handled before him and will handle after him, which is criticism for his own shortcomings. But I'll say this from personal experience. You can't heal where you got sick. And whatever he was dealing with off the court, I can't do anything other than take his word that there was something else going on. I don't think it's for me or us, for that matter, to dismiss his claims that he had some stuff going on in his life independent of the playoffs and independent of his relationship with the Sixers, and those things only exacerbated or compounded whatever was going on. So, yes, is it convenient that he's on the road to playing again now that he's gotten what he's wanted? It's no different than our children. You know, they throw a tantrum, then you give them what they want, and they act as sweet as pie. It's like, well, wait a second. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the way you go about doing things. But if he says that there were issues that he doesn't want to get into, I think if we're going to be consistent when it comes to evolving and maturing ourselves as a society, as an industry, as individuals, when it comes to discussing the broad tent that is mental health, then let's be consistent. You know, let's not because we've already have a preconceived notion, or we only have, already have an opinion about what we think it is or what we think it should be, let's not let that cloud our judgment, or let's not even judge at all, I think. It's not a hot take, but I think it's the right way to go about it. If somebody says, I had issues that I don't really want to get into that had nothing to do with the trade, I'm going to believe him. The same way I'm going to believe James Harden at Philadelphia was his first choice, even though he probably says that to all the teams at this point. So, you know, I think the best way to do it is the way we've always been doing it, which is let's be better than we've been traditionally and historically when it comes to dismissing out of hand somebody struggling with personal issues. I mean, they have lives outside of basketball. We see the basketball. We see him turning down shots. We see him turning down dunks. We see him demanding a trade and sitting out a season and losing a bunch of money. I'll tell you what, I respect the fact that my guy was so committed to not playing for that organization again that he forfeited a big chunk of change. So I would think something must have really been wrong for him to give up the millions of dollars that he did.
Michael Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, you mentioned how Ben Simmons turns down shots. He's not the only guy on the Nets who does. So what do you think?
Rim shot.
Thank you. What do you think this means for the Nets and Sixers in the short term and long run? Give it. What do you got for me?
Well, they got him under contract. So if New York, and you're more familiar with that market and the politics of that market than I am, if New York ends up easing its vaccine mandate and Kyrie Irving is able to play full time. Well, I got another one for you. I got another joke for you. I don't know why everybody was tripping about Kyrie Irving only playing half the games when James Harden only played half the court.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, he did his own rim shot there in his house. I like it. I like
anyway,
it.
That was so corny, but that's on brand for me. No, if they get all their guys back, plus Seth Curry, like I said, I think Simmons is a better fit. He's still an elite defender, an incredible passer, amazing in transition. And if he's right mentally, I think, especially in the half court, and this has been said by a lot, if he could just accept his role, by a lot of people, if he could accept his role and use that passing ability to make that offense flow more in line with what Kevin Durant and Steve Nash wanted. I think I read where James Harden philosophically wanted a more ISO-heavy attack, whereas, you know, Nash and Durant want to play more like the Warriors. Well, here's your Draymond Green.
Mm.
Not that he's as good as Draymond Green.
No, I know what you're saying. No, it's just interesting, you know, it's in terms of strategy. So what about the Sixers that you know, is Harden not have enough time to get in, and that maybe next year is a year for it? Or I'm just hoping the basketball gods see fit to make this a 3-6 first-round matchup, 4-5 or whatever. I mean, that would just be dynamite.
I mean, I hope they both play, was it March 10th? I hope they can both play by then.
I mean, March 10th, I don't know. Do you send Simmons into Philadelphia? Is that what you do? I mean,
well, if you want the 3-6, I mean, you got to get it out of the way at some point.
No, that's going to happen. I mean, the playoffs, he can't sit out or have management or whatever, you know.
I think you rip that Band-Aid off. I mean, that's because wherever he goes, if he goes to Brooklyn, I mean, I know Brooklyn's fan base isn't what Philly's is, and he doesn't have the history in Brooklyn. But if he goes to – if he struggles in Brooklyn, you're going to hear boos there too.
Oh, of course.
Now, he's probably going to hear boos at every arena he plays at, because even though he was a Philadelphia 76er, that became a national story. You'd be hard-pressed to find an NBA fan that did not have an opinion about Ben Simmons, Sixer fan or not.
Right.
So – but in terms of what was your question about?
About the Sixers' long run this year.
So
I mean,
Harden,
what do you think?
With Harden, so he misses the deadline conveniently to opt in for next year. Like, Harden is that guy, either that woman or man, whichever, that has a whole lot of relationships, like a serial monogamous. He's like, yo, why you keep, you have no trouble getting a boyfriend, but why have you run through so many? Or that person whose resume has a long list of employment. It's like, why you can't keep a job? You can get a job, but you can't keep a job. Harden has run through every superstar in the NBA at this point that he could realistically do it with. So unless and until it does work with Joel Embiid, I'm skeptical that it will, because for some reason it has not worked with Harden and another superstar. Embiid is also not just a roll to the rim. He's not going to take a back seat. He's not a take a back seat kind of big man. He is a, you know, if they run the pick and roll game, he's probably more likely to pop than he is to roll. So it'll be interesting to see how they gel in a short period of time. And in that short period of time, let's say they don't win it. Let's say they don't win a championship this year. Is Harden going to have a wandering eye again? Does he just want to be a free agent and pick his team independent of trade machinations and ownership input and general manager? Does he want to be wooed? What's important to him? Because what I still believe, if had he given it time, you know, and I get the Kyrie thing frustrated him. He's not alone in that. But you mean to tell me a healthy Kevin Durant and a healthy James Harden could not have contended in the Eastern Conference without Kyrie Irving? I still believe they could have.
Well, I said yesterday, if he doesn't win with Philadelphia, or it doesn't work with Philadelphia for Harden, then he becomes Westbrook. That's what he becomes.
Even if it does work, does he get like the usual championship credit?
Oh, I think he would. I think he would.
Do the way he got here?
Oh, I think he would. I think he would be lionized in Philadelphia forevermore if he brings the Sixers a championship, or he's part of a Sixers championship, even if he's just there as a complimentary piece to an out of his gourd Embiid. I think he would. I do.
Listen, I mean, a ring is a ring. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And if he's hungry and his Marissa Tomei biological clock is doing this,
it's stopping. Yeah.
Then okay, I get that. And however he gets it, he gets it. And there's no shame in being a number two, a clear cut number two, to arguably the best big man, if not one of the best players in the NBA. There's no shame in that, you know, whatsoever. There's no shame in being, no disrespect to the Big O, but there's no shame in being Oscar to Embiid's Kareem, if you will. Oscar's also one of the greatest players of all time, right? But it was Lou Alcindor. So, regardless, it's a ring. Will he be lionized in Philly? Yeah, because they're championship star. But James Harden, the MVP, being so nomadic and such a hired gun,
right,
and the way he forced his way out of Philadelphia, the way he's forced his way out of the Nets, you know, I question as to whether or not he'll be viewed in the same vein as most players, who star players, superstar players who win championships. Now, the other side of that coin is what he talked about yesterday. Maybe this is just somebody, you know, a player taking the player empowerment era that we're in to a whole nother level and just it hasn't found the right spot. But if you got to go through so much to find the right spot and so many people to find the right spot, like even if you count the iterations of the Rockets when he was there, both in terms of supporting cast, head coach, and now it didn't work or he didn't want to see it through, you know, with the Nets a year later. Now he is with the Sixers. It just, I feel like it's already a referendum on him, and I don't know if that championship makes me look at him any differently. Brilliant individual player, brilliant scorer, brilliant passer, you know, exceptional talent, one of the best scorers we've ever seen. But I think he's shown that he's that proverbial, you can't win with him as your best player. Thankfully, they got Joel Embiid for that. So we'll see how they fit together.
We'll see you at the top of the next hour. You and Michael Holly, sir. Thanks for the call, Michael Smith, as always.
It's been too long, dog. Don't make me, you know, get me worried that you would trade me for somebody else.
Not at all.
Like, damn, I ain't talked to Rich in a while.
You're on my Instagram. You're on my Instagram. I have not scrubbed it.
I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. Take care.
Y'all be good. That's enjoy Hawaii. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha. That's Michael Smith, everybody. Brother from another, top of next hour, 3 Eastern, with he and Michael Holly right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We'll take a break. Breaking Bengals news. Breaking Bengals news. Breaking Bengals news. That's next.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of 3 pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, my friends at Mercedes-Benz Vans want to ask you the last time you seriously considered your dream. It's probably been a while, hasn't it? Yes, it has. It has been a while. So you used to think about it all the time. What happened? I say it's time you and your dream get back together. Think about it. You could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You can just travel around. You can go see family and friends that you haven't seen for quite some time. You could go on a vacation. You could start your own business. It's really whatever you dream up, because it's a Mercedes-Benz van that we're talking about. You can expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist, blind spot assist, amazing performance and reliability. You can expect that, an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine that runs like, well, a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership near you and get that Sprinter and tell them your dream sent you. Jeff in Detroit here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeff? How you been?
What's happening, Unc, my cousins? I'm glad I caught you going out the door with your briefcase, man. Sounds like you are already on your flight.
Oh, wait a second. Look what we got.
That's right. We got a Jeff in Detroit graphic right here on the screen.
Yeah. That's smooth with it.
Oh, that's so dope.
Oh, have you not seen this yet? It says it's a police badge.
I wanted to give you guys a little inside information.
Sure.
Kelly Stafford wasn't letting Matt stay in Detroit another year longer. After the Matt Patricia debacle, what she came to understand is that his career was getting nowhere if he was constantly under different OCs and different head coaches. The organization itself has always, in my opinion, the Forge run the king like the car company. And they need somebody that can really get in there and do what needs to be done. So now we're starting to rebuild all over again. I'm so happy for Matt. And that his, and the thing about it, Rich, him and his wife still have charitable contributions that still come to the state of Michigan every year. They have not been declined whatsoever. In fact, they increase.
Okay. That's great to know. Thanks for the call, Jeff. You be well. You be well. Congrats on, Super Bowl adjacent. Right? Super Bowl adjacent Detroit.
And they should honestly have a parade. Like, maybe let Matt recover a little bit. He looked a little hungover at Disneyland.
Yeah,
let's throw a parade for Matt like next week.
Okay, yeah, and then Sideline Mike says that Atlanta's Super Bowl adjacent now because he's Athens, Georgia is Super Bowl adjacent.
I just like that Jeff has his own card, which I'd never seen before, and he just kind of blew through it like it was not a big deal to him.
Maybe he'll see it later. He'll see it later.
He's out driving around. He'll see it on the way back.
Breaking Bengals news. Chris Brockman, what do you have over there? What do you have over there?
All right, the Bengals have announced they have signed head coach Zach Taylor to a contract extension through 2026.
Okay.
Breaking news.
Thank you. Very good.
I didn't want over.
And then, so 2026. All righty.
Seems like a good idea.
All righty. From the hot seat, he went into the season as the coach most likely to be fired.
Yeah,
and he emerges
on,
it with a new contract all the way through to 2026. So congratulations to him having a job all the way through to 2026. Because as we know, the Cincinnati Bengals do not fire people and pay dead money. Ever. Ever. Never, ever, ever do they do something like that. That's how Marvin Lewis lasted as long as he did.
He's getting that money.
Never. So he will be in Cincinnati all the way through to 2026.
Yeah, and then Zach Taylor also said today that Joe Burrow, we saw him take many, many hits in the Super Bowl, suffered and played through a sprained MCL.
Well, you saw him screaming in pain on the sack that ended, what, the second to last drive or the third to last drive?
Yeah, it was in the fourth quarter.
Right. I think it was the third to last drive because the second to last drive was ended by the Boyd drop, his first of the year. And then the last drive we all know was ended by
Aaron Donald.
But yeah.
No surgery, just going to heal and he'll be back for next
year. Hey, I told the Bengals fans this on Monday. I'll say it again. You got the right quarterback. That's 90-95% of the problem. We started the show talking about the quarterback carousel and who's a quarterback needy team and who might be interested and who's sticking with a plan, hoping that it can become a team that's in the category of no way are we in the quarterback market, and we won't be for quite some time. And for the first time, maybe if we've done this list for the last, 15 years, the Bengals haven't been on that list since Carson Palmer started playing well, right? That's the last time. I mean, the Bengals, you are set at quarterback, and you've got the weapons galore, and you clearly have the coach who knows how to put it all together and make people believe and hand out game balls and bars in town and get the whole city involved.
Cool.
I mean, you're like, they've got it right.
Yeah.
Bungles no more. Just the jungle. And Joe.
Roll the jungle.
And Jamar in the jungle. You know?
Now so. Draft some linemen.
Yeah, no, right now. And hit the hell out of that line. That's it.
Yep.
Just like the Chiefs did last year for their all-world quarterback. Charlie Day in studio hour number 3. Don't go anywhere here on the Rich Eisen Show.